Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, people have long been fascinated by the subject of the end times, and specifically by the question of when the end will be, when this world we live in will come to its conclusion. For evidence that this fascination is nothing new, you don't need to look any further than this morning's gospel reading. Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple in Jerusalem one day when some of the disciples commented on what a magnificent building the temple was. And by all accounts, it really was an amazing sight to see. The temple in Jerusalem was the largest structure in the Roman world at that time, covering an area equal to about 35 football fields. The stones of the temple walls were made of marble, and some of the individual stones were as large as 60 feet long by 12 feet high by 18 feet deep. And on top of that, people had given special offerings to adorn the temple with gold-plated gates and with other decorative elements also made of gold. The Jewish historian Josephus said that looking at the temple from a distance, the marble looked like a mountain of snow, and that the sun reflecting off the gold was like looking straight at the sun. So it's not surprising that, as we heard in our reading from Luke, some of Jesus' disciples were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. So there was nothing surprising about the disciples' comments that day, but they certainly would have been surprised by Jesus' response to their comments. As Jesus said to them, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Well, that certainly gave the disciples something to think about. And it seems they did, in fact, take at least a little time to think and to probably talk among themselves before asking Jesus about this destruction of the temple he had just said was coming. When Matthew and Mark tell us about the same conversation that day, they add the information that Jesus and the disciples had walked from the temple area up to the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem before the disciples worked up the boldness to ask Jesus about this coming destruction he had referred to. And when they did then ask him about it, what they especially wanted to know was when it would happen. Luke writes, they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Now here it's important to understand that when the disciples asked when these things would happen, they didn't mean only the destruction of the temple. They also meant other things that they thought would accompany the destruction of the temple. And what would those other things be? Well, Matthew specifically tells us that the disciples asked not only when the temple would be destroyed, but also what signs there would be that the end of the age was coming. In his more detailed account of the disciples' question, Matthew writes, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Now, to us, it might not seem very natural to connect the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem with the end of the age, the end of this world as we know it. But to Jesus' disciples living at that time, it would have seemed perfectly natural that God's judgment against the unbelief of Israel would signal the end, that that particular judgment would be so significant that it must be part of the final judgment. So in their question to Jesus, the disciples were wanting to know when the end of this world would be and how they would be able to know when the end was near. In other words, they were no different at all from people today. They too were fascinated by the question of when the end will come. In Jesus' response to the disciples' question, he spoke about both the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the end of the world. And he also made clear that those two things would not happen at the same time. And in Jesus' response, one thing that we clearly see is that while Jesus understands our curiosity about the end, he does not want us to spend our time speculating about the end. Instead, Jesus works to shift our focus away from the question of when the end will be to the more important question of how we should use the time between now and the end, regardless of how long or how short that time might be. Jesus' response that day can be summarized in three main points. And more specifically, in his response, we see three main things that Jesus wants us not to do. The first is that he wants us not to get caught up in speculation about when the end will be. Jesus tells the disciples that people will come claiming either that they are the Lord or they have been sent by the Lord, and that they have come to announce that the end is near. And Jesus tells the disciples not to listen to such people. Jesus said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he, and the time is at hand.' Do not go after them." Jesus also said that political events would take place that would make some people wonder if it's the end. But here again, Jesus' message was not to get caught up in such speculation. Yes, there would be wars and rumors of wars, but those things would not mean that the end is at hand. Jesus said, "When you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." And Jesus also added that events would take place in nature that would make some people wonder if the time was near. Earthquakes, signs in the skies, which could be things like comets or eclipses. And Jesus said that those things also would not mean that it was the end. Not only would all those things be seen long before the end of the world, all those things would also be seen well before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And they were not to be interpreted as meaning that the end was upon them. Whether it was religious figures saying that the end was near, or political events making people wonder, or events in nature making people wonder, Jesus said that his disciples were not to get caught up in looking for signs and trying to piece together clues to try to figure out how close the end might be. Now, Jesus did, in fact, tell his disciples one thing that would signal that the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem was near. He said that when Jerusalem was surrounded by armies, its destruction would be near and the people should flee from Jerusalem at that time. And in fact, the historian Eusebius recorded that after Jerusalem had been surrounded by Roman armies in 66 AD, the Christians in Jerusalem remembered what Jesus had said, and for that reason they fled Jerusalem. And by doing that, they escaped the destruction of Jerusalem, which was completed in 70 AD, at which time the temple in Jerusalem was thoroughly destroyed, with not one stone left upon another, exactly as Jesus had said would happen. But with regard to the end of the age, the end of this world, Jesus said that we will know that that day is upon us when the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and stars shake, and the Son of Man is seen coming on the clouds. In other words, when it comes, we'll know it. But we won't be able to figure out ahead of time when it will be. As Jesus said on another occasion, the end will come at a time when we are not expecting it. As he said, it will come like a thief in the night. Before that day, there will be false prophets claiming that the end is upon us, and there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be earthquakes and famine. After all, Jesus said all those things would already be seen before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And when we see those things happening, they should serve as a reminder to us that this world is temporary and will indeed come to an end one day. But as Jesus said, those things do not mean the end of the world is going to come right away. And they can't be used as a way of figuring out when the end will be. So as he said, we will not be able to figure out when the end will be. So Jesus cautions us not to get caught up in speculation about when the end will be. And that brings us to a second thing that he tells us not to do. Jesus tells us not to be afraid of that day. For many people, thinking about the last day and Christ's return brings about a sense of fear. Fear that when the end comes, especially if it comes unexpectedly, they won't be ready. For some, that fear leads them to become preoccupied with thinking about the end times. And for some, that fear has the opposite effect, leading them to essentially block the subject out of their minds entirely. But in Jesus' words to the disciples that day, we see that he would not have us respond in either of those ways. Just as Jesus tells us not to waste our time speculating about when the last day will be, he also assures us that there is no need for us to fear that day, whenever it might be. In fact, Jesus tells us that if we happen to live until that day, we should rejoice to see that day come. And why is that? Because on that day, we will see our Redeemer coming to us. Jesus said, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." That is the most important thing we need to know about that day, that we do not need to fear that day, because the one coming to us will be our Redeemer. In his first coming, Christ gave himself into death on the cross to redeem us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And when he comes again in glory, he will bring about the fullness of our redemption, delivering us from all evil forever. The one coming to reign in glory over us will be the Lamb who was slain for us. And so, for all who are in Christ, that is not a day to fear. It will be a day to welcome with rejoicing. Rejoicing to see with our own eyes our great Redeemer coming to receive us into the glory that he died to win for us on the cross. So we are not to get caught up in speculating about when the end will be, and we are not to fear that day. And there is a third thing that Jesus says we are not to do. We are not to let this time that we now have go to waste. Having the comfort and full assurance that everlasting life is ours because of Jesus Christ, our Savior, knowing that our eternal future is secure because of him and what he has done for us, how better to use this time we now have than by living not for ourselves, but for him who gave his life for us. In today's scripture readings, we're shown two ways of doing that: by sharing the message of Christ and by sharing the mercy of Christ. In our gospel reading, Jesus told his disciples that in the time they had left, however long or short that time might be, they would be given many opportunities to be his witnesses and share his gospel. In fact, he told them that even when they were persecuted, when they were arrested and brought before the authorities, That will give them the opportunity to bear witness for him before kings and governors. Now, we might not have exactly the same opportunities that the apostles had, but we do have opportunities in this life to share the message of Christ with people whom God brings into our lives. It can be as simple as sharing with them the same message that the bell choir shared with us this morning. The good news that Jesus loves them, and that this we know because the Bible tells us so. None of us knows how much time we have, but in the time we do have, what better way can we use that time than by sharing with others the same comfort we ourselves have been given? That there is no need for us to fear Christ's coming, because the one coming to us will be our Redeemer. It will be he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. And even as we work together as the body of Christ to share the message of Christ, we also hear in this morning's epistle reading of another way to use well this time that we are given before the end, whenever that might be. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul writes, "Brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." That doing good can be done in countless different ways, but essentially it boils down to showing love for one another, sharing God's love with one another. Whether it is caring for our families, feeding the hungry, helping the poor, visiting the lonely, encouraging one another, praying for one another, forgiving one another as we have been forgiven in Christ, loving one another as Christ has loved us. There is absolutely no value in trying to figure out when the end of this world will be. But there is great value in sharing Christ's message and Christ's mercy in the time that we have before the end. So to recap, in this morning's gospel reading, we've heard from our Lord three things not to do, but those three things can also be expressed as three positive things to do. Do not get caught up in speculating about when the end will be, but do know that as you abide in Christ by faith, you will be prepared for the end, whenever it might be. Do not fear the last day, but rather do look forward to seeing Christ, knowing that the sight of Christ will be a source of joy for you because he is your Redeemer, who died for you on the cross so that you can live forever with him. And do not let this time that we have before the end go to waste, but do see this as an opportunity to freely share with others what we ourselves have been freely given, God's word and God's love. We might still sometimes wonder about some things we can't yet know, such as when the end of this world will be. But far more important are the things we do know, things that we know because the Bible tells us so. And the greatest of these is the great love of Jesus, our Redeemer. May he come again soon, that we may welcome him with joy. And may all glory, honor, and praise be to him, who will joyfully welcome us into his kingdom, and who shall reign forever and ever. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.